KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have rain here in Atlantic, cloudy skies, and it's 51 degrees. So far, we picked up a total of 3/4 of an inch of rainfall, just under 4/10 of that falling within the past hour here outside the KJAN studio. Showers and occasional thunderstorms expected today, a high around 60. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Wellcove Home Health of Red Oak. Experience the spirit of Wellcove. Taking a look at Western Iowa news, a Southwest Iowa woman testified before a congressional panel on Tuesday about how her daughter was killed in Omaha by a drunk driver who was in the U.S. illegally. Michelle Root of Modale in Harrison County told how a matter of hours before the crash, her 21-year-old daughter had graduated from Bellevue University with a 4.0 GPA. Sarah Root, who lived in Council Bluffs, wanted to go on and earn a master's degree in criminology.
The night of January 31st, 2016, as she was coming home, she was rear-ended by Eswin Mejia, who was 19 years old, here illegally, drunk driving, street racing. My daughter died instantly.
Bond was set by the judge on the suspect at $50,000, and Mejia was released after posting the standard 10%, or $5,000. Mejia, a native of Honduras, hasn't been seen since and is feared to have fled the country.
The local law enforcement did their job. They detained him, went to ICE, tried to get a hold on him. ICE refused. I don't know why that was with everything that happened, but he is on the loose now, so our family does not have closure.
Police say Mejia's blood alcohol level was 3 times the legal limit, and he was driving on a suspended license when he was speeding and caused the accident.
We probably never will have closure, even if he is found. I just hope that he will be someday found to pay for the crime that he did against my daughter.
Root appeared before the House Subcommittee on Immigration and Border Security while wearing a T-shirt that read, "Strong, adorable, remarkable, amazing, heavenly." The first letters from each word spell out Sarah. In her statement, Root blamed Obama administration guidelines for deeming the suspect in the case to be no threat to public safety.
We are not against immigration. Sarah's grandmother was an immigrant from Vienna, Austria. She did it legally. She did it the right way. That's all we're asking. It's the illegal immigrants that are already breaking the law once they come over here, and they continue to break our laws.
Representative Trey Gowdy, a Republican from South Carolina, chairs the subcommittee and addressed the Root case directly.
How in the hell somebody here illegally who operates a vehicle at a high rate of speed and 3 times the legal rate of impairment and kills a 21-year-old girl doesn't meet priorities of ICE is precisely why so little people have confidence in this administration's policies and priorities, and precisely why so many people are angry and fed up with the current state of immigration enforcement.
Gowdy blames the Obama administration and ICE for the tragic circumstances.
If killing a young woman while racing in an impaired state and being here illegally in the first place does not meet priorities, then perhaps your priorities are wrong.
In her statement, Root noted that her daughter was the hero of the story, as she was an organ donor and unselfishly saved the lives of 6 individuals through her donation and helped another 4 dozen through her donation of tissue and bone. A similar case has surfaced in Omaha. A Honduran man who officials say is in the U.S. illegally is charged in a deadly hit and run. Police report 27-year-old Edwin Alvira Palma is charged with leaving the scene of a fatal accident, suspicion of reckless driving, not having a driver's license, and his 4th DUI. Elvira Palma is accused of running over 34-year-old Margarito Nava Luna early Saturday morning in Omaha. The school board in Sydney Monday night had rejected a proposed 3-way sharing agreement between that district, South Page, and the Griswold School District. According to reports, the Sydney School Board rejected the proposal by simply failing to take action on the agreement, which means Superintendent Greg Cruikshank will continue to serve as superintendent for those 2 school districts only during the next school year. The board's decision was said to have been based on the vacancy in the elementary principal's position, with Linda Spencer stepping down at the end of the current school year. The Sydney School Board also voted to hire a part-time elementary principal for the next school year, with the intent of hiring a full-time principal for 2017-18 school year. The Griswold School Board Tuesday evening passed a motion in a continuation of efforts to find a shared superintendent to replace Dana Kunze, who will be departing at the end of June. The motion was made by board member Steve Byer about an hour after discussion. The motion, as read, indicates that Beyer moved to go forward with consideration of superintendent sharing opportunities at this time, and if not making successful progress by June 1st, pursue an interim superintendent. The motion was seconded by Scott Peterson. The board was forced to consider their superintendent options because a proposed three-way sharing agreement between the South Page and Sydney school districts was shot down by the Sydney school board during their meeting Monday night, as I just mentioned. The priority for the Griswold School Board right now is made evident during their meeting Tuesday is to have the administrative team at Griswold go through a list of candidates for a middle school, high school principal, whittle down those candidates to five or six for video interviews, and then have those persons interviewed by the board for consideration. Steve Beyer said there's still time to get the superintendent in place by June 1st, but the urgency lies in the middle school, high school principal's position because that's the face of the district, the person with the most public contact.
We've got more options. We've got time to see how this plays out. If at the worst we end up end of May, 1st of June saying, well, let's just go an interim part-time for the year, I think we can find good quality people to do that. I think there's people that would fill in for a year. There'd be people that would take less than that if that was our desire.
A couple of the people that are on the list have talked to me and said they're willing to do whatever we need.
That was School Board President Scott Hansen there at the end. The board had discussed trying to find two more districts to share with, sharing with one district, having a combination superintendent, middle school, high school principal, and using an interim superintendent. They ruled out the combo position because it risks burning out the person selected and their other obligations would stretch them too thin. Board President Scott Hansen agreed, saying also that a combination position would be detrimental to maintaining discipline.
You know, let's face it, we all know that one of the big things with the high school principals, they deal with a lot of disciplinary stuff. They need to be here. You know, you always have days when they're out of the district, but, you know, I think it's one of those things I keep coming back to. And not to mention the fact, in a combo position, the thing that makes me most uncomfortable about a combo is somebody gets in trouble where you're talking about possible suspension or expulsion, and the high school principal is the one that initiates that, and if the parents don't agree, then you appeal to superintendent, which means you're appealing to yourself, which means that you're going to wind up at the board table with lots more stuff.
The board agreed that the clock is ticking on finding a solution to the leadership problem, and the direction they're heading now is the best way to proceed. The news was brought to you by Wellcove Home Health of Red Oak at 1600 Summit in Red Oak. Give them a call at 712-623-2500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.